always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Like, if Dalton wasn't as disappointing a prospect, this would be done. And the problem is, like, we talk about how Jonathan Kuminga is viewed around the league. Imagine how Dalton Kynect is viewed around the league, where this guy's on a $5 million expiring contract. He's a former first-round pick and somebody who everybody was shocked that he fell down the draft the way that he did. And they were shocked by it because of his like unquestionable just individual talent. And yet, like, at the end of the day, nobody wants him at that $5 million, or the Atlanta in this case wants the pot sweetened if they do take on Dalton.
Yeah. And they should, in my opinion. I mean, again, I'm not the one in charge, but like the most attractive of all of the kind of end of roster scenarios to me would be Laravia, because he's expiring and I think he's a decent player. But Laravia is like has limited value to the Hawks right now. Like the Hawks have a roster crush. So
many wings.
He'd be their 18th player on a 15-man roster. And they just added Lu Dort and Aaron Wiggins, and they already have Dyson Daniels and all these, without going through the entire Hawks thing. Like, I like Jake Laravia at that contract. And that's a pretty solid piece to have on your roster. But for the Hawks, there's pretty minimal excitement about that. And with, you know, if they didn't have the roster crunch, maybe. But also the funny thing about the Laravia thing is that's only $6 million. That means Kuminga is taking what in a trade, in a contract to be matched only by Laravia. He's taking 10-ish, and he's, to my mind, been unwilling to take that. Even if the Hawks wanted to do that trade, Kuminga has to agree to that. And I don't think he's ready to do, maybe he is now, but he hasn't been ready to agree to that. Even if, and I think the Hawks won't do that right now. I think they'd have to be incentivized. You mentioned picks earlier. Like, there's a world where if the Lakers had like a real first, not a swap, a real first to offer to take a Vanderbilt swap, they might've done that 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
For a real first, but not for a swap with the Lakers. Like, they're not going to do that. Why would they? That's not worth the swap of, you know. So there's various, you and I have even exchanged ideas about this offline. It's like, there isn't an obvious trade that the Hawks would do that the Lakers would offer. I just don't understand. I mean, maybe they'll get to something, but it seems like a flirtation that may not go anywhere in the end.
The other interesting aspect of this is if the Lakers do, by some miracle, and I don't think Kuminga's camp would consider it a miracle, but if they do land Kuminga at the minimum and then he outplays that contract, they don't have a ton of spending power to be able to keep him next year. So that's another reason that they would honestly prefer to a sign and trade to give themselves that opportunity, you know, because that involves a 3-year deal. And yes, options are usually involved there, but that would at least give them some flexibility to be able to keep him beyond the season. Because here's the thing. Objectively speaking, if the Lakers get him at a minimum contract, Jonathan Kuminga would very easily outplay that contract by a lot, by a lot. And also, if Kuminga does go to the Lakers and outplays that contract and accepts the role that the whole league is waiting for him to kind of accept, now you would have a lot more burgeoning a market for Kuminga next summer, at a time where I think there's going to be a few more teams that might have a little bit more jangle in their pocket to be able to spend. So it's a I was asking around in anticipation of this episode just to see what his and their, meaning the Lakers, options would be here. And it's just not a ton of them. And so either the Lakers are going to get this guy well below market value, but probably lose him next year, or he goes to Cleveland if, like, LeBron goes to Miami, or he goes to Milwaukee if Milwaukee just says, well, shit, we may as well sign this guy to a $8 to $10 million deal. What else are we going to be doing? And that's how I could see this all playing out. But I find it really difficult to envision Kuminga returning to Atlanta. That's the one scenario here that I would probably pretty comfortably eliminate.
It does seem unlikely to, like, I'm because I you know, my BS meter is always running, but I'm not ruled it out in my head because the Hawks haven't, and they don't have any reason to tell me that they have. But like, I think it'd have to be a very specific situation for him to come back to Atlanta. Like, I think that's not likely at all to happen, especially, you know, you could argue maybe the Lu Dort thing, he just replaces Zachary Cliche, but Lu Dort is a worse fit with Jonathan Kuminga than Zachary Cliche was.
Yeah.
And Lu Dort makes more money than Zachary Cliche does. The Hawks have less spending power than they did before. All of these things, like, I'll say what I said before, like, they're operating like a team that is not expecting to have him on their roster. And doesn't mean they wouldn't be willing to facilitate something. Like, I think I mentioned the Bucks before once. If I'm the Bucks, I would offer a deal that Kuminga should take before he takes the minimum with the Lakers. But I don't know if they're offering that. They have a trade exception if they want to use it, and they have the non-taxpayer mid-level. If the Bucks want to offer either of those things, they can do that. And I don't know how interested they are. Maybe the Kuminga's side will be bailed out by the Cavs. Maybe we hear LeBron goes to the Heat or LeBron goes somewhere else, and the Cavs are like kind of desperate because they've already decided they want to have this archetype. Obviously, LeBron and Kuminga are not the same player, but you know what I mean? Yeah. And they turn around and they get aggressive enough with the Hawks where the Hawks are like, sure, we'll help you out. Here it is. Take whatever it is, the either the MLE or a Max Strus sign and trade or whatever you want to say it would be. But until LeBron doesn't go to Cleveland, it's like, I don't know what to do. It's people, I mean, I'm sure this happens to you. Every day of my life for the last month has been, what's Jonathan Kuminga's market? And I'm just like, shrug emoji. It's tough.
I had a commenter the other day say, like, God, all of your episodes sound the same. It's Jonathan Kuminga for a little bit, a couple of jokes making fun of Rob Pelinka, and then you answer some questions. It's like, it's July 21st, bud.
I've been kind of busy because the Hawks keep doing stuff. Like, the Hawks just made a big trade 2 days ago. I was trying to enjoy my Sunday and they decided to make a giant trade. So I was not happy with the timing about that. But yeah, I haven't had to do quite as much, I'm sure, as you have on this only, because I have other things going on. The Hawks have 17 players on their roster. So it's like, hey, they have to cut someone or trade someone. And unfortunately, trading Jonathan Kuminga does not clear up the Hawks roster crunch. It's a separate issue to some degree.
Yeah, the Lakers technically have 16, right? So they're looking for that consolidation trade as well. And Kuminga would be that consolidation trade. The problem is that the Hawks are in an even worse spot.
Yeah, the Hawks do not want to do a 3-for-1 for Jonathan Kuminga. I can promise you that. They don't want to. Maybe if they had other places to send those guys, they could do it. But yeah.
I didn't plan to talk to you about this, so sorry to kind of drop this on your doorstep here. But I was looking at the way that the Hawks roster came together this summer, and it is a whole bunch of wings who can defend. It is a team that is going to have $40 million or so in cap space next year, and it's a team though that is slightly, I think, below the Mendoza line from an offensive creativity standpoint. Austin Reeves was somebody who was on, like, the Hawks were, we were told coming into the summer, we're a team to keep an eye on for Austin. Heard a lot that Quinn Snyder is a big Austin Reeves fan. And obviously it didn't play out. Austin is going to remain a Laker for the season. But one thing that I heard a lot about in Vegas and had a lot of conversations about in Vegas was, like, if this Lakers team doesn't succeed in the playoffs, Austin is kind of the guy who needs to be moved. And I was looking at Atlanta's roster as a possibility or a potential fit where, you know, the one thing the Hawks have in abundance are these two-way wings that you would like to surround Luka Doncic with. What would you think about a possible fit there for Reeves next season or this upcoming summer, if in fact the Lakers do flame out early in the playoffs?
I think it's conceivable for sure. I mean, every time I talk about the Hawks having up to 45-ish million in space and all these expiring contracts, the follow-up question is, of course, who are they going to use it on, right? Yeah. And you said this earlier, but trades are more likely than free agents. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, free agency can work, but it takes a lot of things for a guy to get to free agency at this point. Most guys end up signing extensions and then get trade extensions by design. The only free agent name I've been able to float is, like, if Peyton Watson takes the qualifying offer from Denver, which he might do, by the way. Maybe he hits the market next summer and it's a good Hawks target because the Hawks like him. Okay, that makes sense. But to Reeves, I don't know if they are would be as excited about him on his contract that he's now making, which is, I would say, market value. I mean, it's not some crazy number, but it's not like he's a bargain on that contract. No, I don't think
anymore.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense on a lot of fronts because the Hawks could take him in they could probably do an imbalanced trade because the Hawks will have so much cap space. They could probably send something back to the Lakers while having to match entirely up to $40 million if they wanted to. I don't think it would be in season, right? It had to be in the summer. Saying
I think it would have to be
a year from now.
It's the kind of thing that
makes total sense.
Yeah. Like it's one of those situations where, this is just kind of playing out how this season could potentially go. Right. And the Lakers, they don't have any first round draft capital that they can trade on any other day than draft days for the next like 7 years or whatever the number is. And, they have some younger guys who are interesting in theory, but are very unproven, right? You have the Udo Thieros and Cam Carrs of the world who in theory could eventually become, interesting enough as actual players and actual, practical talents that a team would be interested enough to supply the Lakers with that kind of two-way wing that they clearly still need. But like if we do get to the end of the season and it is clear that the Lakers aren't where they need to be defensively because the starting point of the roster is $100 million devoted every year to Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves, then maybe just maybe that conversation comes back up. And I was kind of looking around and Atlanta makes a lot of sense. And I think Austin makes some sense for them in that, like, he's not terrible defensively. I think it's kind of overblown, like the conversation about Austin defensively, but he is excellent as creator and engine on offense. We've seen him play that role in spots where Luka isn't available, LeBron isn't available. And Atlanta has more than enough athleticism to make up for any of those defensive deficiencies. So it was just something I was kind of thinking about. Over the course of the combo.
It's not crazy at all. I mean, I think that this might sound weird for what I'm about to say, but Reeves might be a little bit older than they want, which is funny because he's still kind of young.
It's crazy, dude. He's the oldest player on the Lakers right now.
Yeah. So, but no, as far as like archetypally skill set wise, like the Hawks basically turning or going from CJ McCollum to Austin Reeves would be a big upgrade to what they're trying to do. I don't know if they would fire that bullet on Austin Reeves on this contract, especially if things just didn't go well in LA, not because of Reeves. You know what I mean? Like if he's now freely available, like it's clearly for a reason to some degree. But your thought process makes total sense. The Hawks are the kind of team that could be a landing spot. If the Lakers were like in a year from now, like, oh, we probably got to trade Reeves now. I think they should and probably would call Atlanta. I don't know if Atlanta is going to be eager to do that at that point, but I wouldn't cross them off. Like it would make some sense.
Yeah. The other team that made some sense was Detroit for a lot of the same reasons. And then we got that report that they were allegedly trying to open up cap space to make an offer to Austin, which by the way, they never did. So my BS meter was running on that one, but still like in terms of types of roster that Austin would fit on, those two teams really kind of stand out to me as possibilities just in case the Lakers do decide, okay, we do want more athleticism on the perimeter. We do want, maybe Grimes isn't enough as a point of attack defender and we can't really upgrade anywhere else using the players that we have. Maybe. All right, let's jump really quickly into the chat to see if you guys have any questions or comments for Brad and myself. This one is not a Hawks question, but I'll answer it. Any chance the Lakers look into GG Jackson as an option at power forward? Maybe not the best, but his youth and defensive upside is intriguing. That was the point of the Zaire Williams signing. We kind of covered this one, but did Kuminga blow it by passing on LA's 2-year, $20 million offer when they could still clear cap space? I think pretty clearly, yes.
I mean, I was gonna say charitably, you could say we'll see, but I don't think he's gonna get better than that now. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I would say charitably, I'll say we'll see, but I would say probably.
I I hate where we're at in having to cover these cap situations because of the apron. Like, literally, it used to be you would laugh at a bad contract because it would impact some owner's luxury tax or whatever. But, like, at the end of the day, like, it didn't have that practical a detriment. It wasn't so detrimental to your team's books, so that you just kind of laugh at it and you move on. Now we actually do have to become accountants. We actually do, like,
yeah.
Atlanta is literally hard capped 4 or 5 minutes from $4 or $5 million from where they are. They don't pay the luxury tax anyway, typically. But like, the Lakers are hard capped at the first apron. Nobody is going above the second apron. And now, like, we now, to a certain extent, and fans now, to a certain extent, have to, like, root for these guys to find themselves in the spot that Kuminga finds himself in, which sucks. Yeah. I don't think it's healthy for fandom or the players.
No, the basketball is more fun. We all got into this for the basketball. Like, basketball discussion is more fun than this. I am a nerd about this stuff. Like, I do know it all. I think, to your point, we kind of have to know it all to be able to talk about this stuff as freely as we end up having to talk about it. But, and there's some team building aspects. There always have been. Money has always mattered in the NBA because it's a salary cap league. It's always going to matter to some degree.
Yeah.
But it matters more than ever now because of all the machinations you have to navigate. And we're in a different spot in this way. You cover a legacy franchise who's won a lot of things and have a lot of stars. And I cover the Hawks, who've never been to the finals. And if the Hawks almost have to put their roster together perfectly. It has to go perfectly in Atlanta. The one time they won 60 games was with a no superstar team, and it was because they put everything together awesomely, and they still lost the conference finals. But, like, the margins are even thinner for the non glamour market teams. Like, they have to, because you don't just fall into Luka Doncic like the Lakers did. I mean, maybe the Hawks, you could argue the Hawks could have drafted Luka Doncic. I understand that. But the established version of
maybe not the example to use there.
You're right. Long story short, you're right. Like, I am a sicko on this stuff. I do enjoy the machinations, but, like, I don't like to root against players getting paid. Like, that's, you know, these guys just, I mean, look, I know they're all rich. I understand that. But, like, I like players to get paid well. Like, that makes sense. Yeah. Rather than owners to save all the money. I know there's BRI and all that stuff. But, like, it is kind of, I have to say, as a responsible analyst, like, the team should squeeze harder on certain things. And, like, I don't take any pleasure in saying that. But it's, like, to do your job well, if you have a guy who's restricted, for example, the Hawks have done some stuff in the past where it's like you could have just waited. Like, you could have squeezed harder. And I feel bad saying that, but you kind of have to say that. With Kuminga, it's the same thing. The Hawks don't have to do him a favor. Would it be nice in the Kumbaya world if they were like, all right, Jonathan, we'll do you a huge solid and ruin our own books to get you paid? But they're not going to do that, nor should they.
No. We got a super comment here, which means we get to play the most important sound on the show, which, Brad, I think you'll agree with. Fuck Washington! All right.
I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for it. I'm good now. Go ahead. Sorry, I'm good. I wasn't ready. We're fine. I like that. That's a super comment. That's good.
It's incentive. Like, I'll have some people sometimes just drop a super comment that just says, fuck Boston. It's like, I agree. I agree. Matthew the Sicilian writes, thanks for joining, Brad. Where do you see the ceiling/floor in wins for the season for the Hawks? Do you think there was any truth to Snyder liking Vando? So we'll go with the first one. The first question first. Ceiling/floor for wins for the Hawks this season.
Ceiling, floor. I think ceiling, they probably could win in, like, the mid-50s if things went really well. Like, I think that's reasonable. Every year you get a team or two that outperforms their projections. Last year it was Detroit in the East that was, like, they won 60. I don't think anyone would have said even their ceiling was 60 this time last year, and they went above that. So I'm not going to say 60, but I could see the Hawks winning in the mid-50s if things went well. Floor, are we doing, like, realistic floor, like non-injury disaster floor? Like, if Jalen Johnson rolls something and misses the season, then it goes down a lot because they really need his offense. I would say, I don't know, high 30s wins, like play like 10 seed in the East, 11 seed in the East, high 30s wins is probably their floor.
Yeah. Floors are tough, a little though, higher like, than that. I try to use the word floor real 500. Yeah.
I don't either, but I'm trying, you know, I think people, my philosophy is generally people tend to think the floor is higher than it actually is on most things.
Yeah.
Like, especially on the player side, I'm sure you've rolled your eyes before, like in the draft process, it's like, this guy's floor is prime Tim Duncan. And it's like, well, that's not a floor. That's not a thing that exists. You know what I mean? Like, I always laugh. It's like, yeah, if that was his floor, he'd be the number one overall pick. Like, whichever
floor is on top of the house.
Yeah, this guy's a late lottery pick, and his floor is like prime Gilbert Arenas. And it's like, nope, that's not his floor. I promise you it's not, or he wouldn't go 15th in the draft.
No, I always like the player comps that are like combinations of two players. So it'll be like Gilbert Arenas, but with like Andre Iguodala's defense. It's like, that's the greatest player.
Right. That's a Hall of Famer, like an Inner Circle Hall of Famer immediately. No, I'm with you. Oh, I should say, I should answer the Bando part, right? Yeah. I don't know about Snyder liking Bando. Like, I know Bando was in Utah, but that was after Snyder left, I believe, for a year. I think that was with Will Hardy, pretty sure.
I think there was slight overlap.
Maybe there was a little bit. I don't know for sure. I will say that the healthy version of Bando, I could see Snyder liking. I don't know if he does, though. I don't have a reporting on that.
Let's see.
And regardless of that, I can tell you the Hawks would not treat him as anything approaching an even asset. I think he's obviously a negative value contract at this moment, and everyone understands that on all sides, including
it was players. Not. It was. You were right. It was Will Hardy was, it Will was Hardy? The coach on that.
I knew it was like right around the same time that Snyder would have left and Harder would have come, like right around that time. But
yeah,
he might like him. I don't know that, and he's not the GM. So that combination of factors.
There's that as well. See, case in point, I said, you know, we'll get this comment from time to time. Fuck Boston. It's like, yes. And now I have to play the sound again. Fuck Boston!
You have to give people what they want. There's people what they always say. That's part of the job.
This has been a blast as always, Brad. It's always really fun. I actually like kind of perk up a little bit when I see that the Lakers and Hawks are like linked in a rumor or linked in a story or something like that. I'm like, fuck yeah, I get to talk to Brad. Anything that you want to plug or anything before we get you out of here?
No, nothing that we haven't already talked about. You know, if you like to follow the Hawks, if you are interested in the Hawks or the NBA at large, I do host a Locked On Hawks podcast. That's the main thing. I still write about the league at large a little bit less than I used to. RIP to Dime, where I wrote for years and years, and it's no longer exists, unfortunately. But yeah, no, Locked On Hawks. I'm at BT Roland on Twitter and Blue Sky. If people want to follow me there, also on Patreon. That's a Hawks only thing. So if I can't imagine people want to do that, but hey, feel free to give me money if you want to.
Just in case.
That's fine. Yeah. I won't stop you from giving me money. But no, Locked On Hawks is the place. And I always appreciate getting the invite. I was excited to get it. I'm glad we could do this.
We did get a question here right at the end that we do have to address from Matthew the Sicilian. Does Bontemps like him?
like Vando or like me? I think he doesn't like me.
Ooh.
No, I'm kidding. Full disclosure, I'm friends with Tim.
Yeah.
Full disclosure, I'm friends with Tim.
He's like super friendly. Now. Like this is a thing that like he's like super like you know, like on the pod he's and stuff
Yorker.
Like that.
He's just a New Yorker, but that's all it is.
That's their default setting, is just rah.
Tim's a very nice man. I know he he's a New Yorker. No, I'm excited that he's moving to Atlanta. That's going to be cool because I liked him. People always ask me what he's going to do with the Hawks, and then I tell him that, and he's like, just tell him I'm with the Hawks. He just doesn't want to talk about what he's actually going to be doing. So does he like – I will text him after this and say, do you like Jared Vanderbilt with no context, and see if he answers me.
He'll just say no.
He'll be like, no comment as a member of the Hawks.
Not at that contract.
Yeah, that's the real answer to everybody with Jared Vanderbilt is not at that contract. Everyone would say that. So
even the Lakers would say that.
Truly.
As always, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Turn on notifications for the show and for YouTube. Today's show, as always, brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of free Prize Picks picks or lineups. when you sign up, use that code and win a $5 lineup of your own. Brad, this has been an absolute blast. Thank you again for hopping on. Hope you all have a great rest of your evening. Make somebody else's, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.